got a cause to live for that's much bigger than you, you'll find yourself being able to live that out and march towards that vision. You see, people will die for a cause. You see, the soldiers in World War II that fought for the freedom that we enjoy today, they weren't, some of them may have had a vision, but essentially they were fighting for a cause. They were fighting for our freedom, and that was the cause that they fought for. They laid down their lives for our freedom. They laid down their lives for a cause that has taken us into the future so that we, as a country, can have a vision for the next 100 years because they died for a cause. You see, we've got to have a cause that is able to fuel our vision. And that cause, I believe, is the cause of Jesus Christ. That is the only cause that I want to live for, the cause of Jesus Christ. Our cause as a church, why we exist, says, we say this. We said, Jesus commanded us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and strength. And we weren't the first to say that because it's Mark 12, verse 30. And he commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is Matthew 28, 19. And our purpose remains the same. Isn't that interesting? That purpose that we have doesn't actually change from year to year. I don't have to get up this year at the beginning of 2010 and think, what is my purpose? All I've got to do is open my Bible and say, Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Wow, that's huge. If I'm wondering what I'm going to do this year, I've only got to open my Bible up and there I am, there I've got it, there it is in front of me, and away we go. Sometimes we complicate our lives way too much. Sometimes we've just got to come back to the simplicity of what the cause that Jesus Christ has asked us to live for. And we can summarize that in a sentence, in unity. That means together, all of us, not just some of us, in unity, we aim to bring glory to God and in the love and the power of the Holy Spirit, reach out to our community and make mature followers of Jesus Christ. See, it's all right, I can stand here this morning and be passionate, I can huff and puff, but at the end of the day, what are we here to do? We're actually here to make mature followers of Jesus Christ. And unless that's actually happening, we're falling short of what God has asked us to do. And that really is the cause that we live for. John 4:23 says this. He says, but the time is coming, and indeed it is now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him this way. You see, 2010 can be your year where you bring authentic worship to every part of your life. In other words, every part, I worded that a bit wrong, but every part of your life will bring authentic worship to God. Together, we can catch a God-inspired vision that is able to shape and influence the future of our city beyond anything that we might imagine. A vision that is part of seeing the kingdom of God advance. We're believing, and if you've been around a little bit already this year, will have heard me saying this, we're believing that 2010 is a year of growth. We're believing that it's a year of growth in your family, a year of growth in your marriage, a year of growth in your business, a year of growth in your life. And at Energizer Church, we want to stand with you and believe by faith that this year can be and is a year of growth for you. So why don't you start to think about some of the things that you want to grow in this year? I've just talked about something that I'm going to grow in this year. I'm going to communicate better with my wife earlier and sooner. It's just a little thing. But some of us are going to say, well, that's going to help my marriage. That's actually going to grow my marriage. It's going to remove that element of frustration from our marriage. And there's all sorts of things. We as a church want your marriage to grow this year. We want you to get to the end of 2010 and say, man, I love my wife. Man, I love my husband. And haven't we grown in our relationship with one another? If you're single, we want you to grow in your ability to accept yourself. In your ability to think, I am so happy with the way that God has made me. I'm so happy with the God that has created me in this way. And I'm going to live that out. And I'm going to live it out knowing this year that I've grown in Him. This year is your year. It's your year of growth. Together we're going to catch a God-inspired vision that is able to shape and influence our city. At Energizer Church, we will stand with you. We're believing that our church will grow. We're believing that it's going to grow in strength. We're believing that it's going to grow in the capacity to help people. We're believing it's going to grow in influence. And we're believing it's going to grow numerically. And I believe that, you know why I want to grow churches numerically? Because more people in church means less people going to hell. It's as simple as that. More people in church means more people set free, more people knowing Jesus Christ, more people being discipled, and the process goes on. That's why we want to grow churches numerically, because we need to do that, and we're going to do that, and this year is a year of growth. So be praying for your friends. Be praying for those that you're going to bring to church and believing that the Holy Spirit is going to move and people are going to find Jesus this year, because it's going to happen. So be praying about that. You've probably heard this voice a lot. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And the King James, you hear this quoted all the time, "Where there is no vision," revelation, vision, I'll explain that in a sec. "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now, what's that mean? What's that all about? And probably the closest English translation might be, "Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint." Where there is actually not a prophetic revelation, in other words, a prophetic revelation is something that moves you from where you are and starts to move you to the future, and where that is not happening, people cast off restraint. In other words, people live loosely, people live unwisely, people live just for the here and now, people live like there's... If you heard somebody say, you know, that guy was driving a car, you know, like it was his last day on earth or something like that, where there was obviously no care to anything beyond that moment. And some of us have lived in that place when we've been in that moment at sort of younger. I used to drive a car like that sometimes. And you see, the reality was you're living without a vision. You're living beyond what you're seeing. And that's why people do that. They cast off restraint. Jesus said, when the devil was tempting him, he said, "Men need more than food." In other words, you could be here this morning and you might have a blessed business. You might have a blessed job. You might have a whole lot of fantastic things that are going on in your life. But the reality is, you need more than that. You need more than food. You need more than your pay each week. You need more than a great car. You need more than a good roof over your head. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What he was saying is, if you want to really live, if you want to live beyond the here and now, if you want to live with purpose, you actually need revelation, word from God in your heart and in your life. And that's what he was talking about. He said, yes, the devil was tempting him to eat some food. He said, well, the food would actually cure my hunger. That would make me feel a little bit better just for a little while. But what he's saying is, if I want to sustain and I want to exist beyond the here and now, I need more than that food. In other words, I need revelation. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to see a vision for my future. Put that verse in context. It says like this, Proverbs 29:17-19. "Discipline your son." Who likes that word, discipline? I used to love that at school. "Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. A servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond." You see, your capacity to receive vision is determined by more than your ability to hear. It's determined by more than your ability to see. It's actually determined by the state of your heart. See, Solomon was making the point in this proverb. He said, you might be working with a bright kid. You might be working with some kid that gets it. In other words, when you speak to him, he understands where you're coming from. He's got sharp intellect. He knows what's happening. But he said, that's not necessarily going to help him receive a vision. Because you see, if his heart has become hard, if he thinks he knows everything already, well, he can understand what you're talking about, but he's not actually going to be able to receive it. See, a hard heart is a heart that you can't teach anything. It's a heart that says, hey, yeah, I know what's going on. And you know, you don't need to tell me. And we've all been in situations like that where we've sometimes been having to help somebody. You've had somebody perhaps that you oversee in a work situation and they get so far. They make great progress at first, and then they get to a point where for some reason they know everything. And you can't teach them anymore. And the impartation stops at that point because their heart somehow becomes a little bit proud and a little bit hard, and they start to think they know everything. Another verse that's connected with this one I've just read in Proverbs is 1 Samuel in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli." And then it says, "Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon." Visions from God were rare in those days for two reasons. The people's hearts had become hard. In other words, they weren't able to receive a revelation. It didn't mean God had stopped speaking. It meant that everybody had stopped hearing. And the other thing was that the priests had become corrupt. The people that were actually meant to be telling and bringing people back to God, they'd become so corrupt that they weren't able to hear the word of God. Anyway, there's two things for us. We've got to keep our hearts soft. And in this day and age, if you know Jesus Christ, you're also a priest. In other words, you've actually got a responsibility to be a priest. And that, did you know that actually means relieving the guilt of somebody else? It doesn't mean heaping judgment on somebody else. It doesn't mean telling somebody else everything that's wrong in their life. It actually means pointing them to God and getting them forgiveness so that the guilt can actually be relieved from their life. That was one of the primary jobs of a priest, to actually relieve guilt from the people. And when that's not happening, there's no vision, because people's hearts go hard and they're unable to receive and hear from God and what he's saying. Because the people had lost sight of what was important, they had no real values. And you've probably met people like that, people that live with virtually no values. Or they value one thing, having a good time perhaps. And we've done some work on our values here at Energizer, and I'm excited about these because we started with about 30 people in a room and a whiteboard and things going everywhere, and we gradually sort of pulled it down, and this is what we come up with. So have a listen to this. I'm excited about our values. These are things that I reckon are not negotiable. These are things that I'm not going to trade in for anything in the way that I live my life. And if you have a look, you would have been given when you walked in one of our newsletters, this new church newsletter, which is absolutely fantastic. And you mightn't get time to read all that now, but in there you've got Energizer Vision 2010. So why don't you open that up, and if you go to the section that says our values, you can actually read along with me and make sure I'm telling you the right things. And it says this, it says, we value a life wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus, a life that remains in constant connection to him through an active prayer life, study and application of God's word, and gathering together with other believers. We value a life lived by faith in God, which brings freedom and courage to live, love, and influence beyond the realm of our natural capacity and ability. In other words, we value living in the supernatural realm. We value living by faith. We value living a life with authenticity and joy. We recognize that life is a journey and seek to boldly and generously worship God through every season. We value all people everywhere, for everyone has a story. We warmly welcome and accept others regardless of age, background, or culture. We value all people created. We value all people as created in the image of God. We see the potential in every person to be restored, made whole, and developed in their area of gifting, and live out their God-given purpose. We value progressive, innovative, and active participation in the expansion of the kingdom of God in our local, national, and global communities through intentional partnership with others. Those are the things that we value. Those are the things that are not negotiable. They're the things that I'm not going to let go for anything. That is why we live. So any vision that you hear, anything else that you hear, actually is underpinned by some values that have been actually thought very carefully about and are founded on the Word of God. So let me share with you what we see. And this is prophetic, and in a minute we're going to get to some strategy about how this plays out. But listen to this. You can see that. It says our vision, what we see in the booklet you've got. We see a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing, committed to connecting people with God and each other. A church that is sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ, that boldly and passionately proclaims him as the hope of the world across our city and beyond. A church that is so consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit that it is able to shape and influence the future of our city beyond perceived restrictions and limitations. A church whose people have the freedom, faith, and courage to take a powerful message of the gospel to our city and to restore spiritual, physical, and emotional hope to this generation and generations to come. A church that is committed to building the kingdom of God and bringing kingdom culture to their environment so that people from all walks of life hear clearly the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. I've lost my place. Confessing sin and being set free by his grace and love. A church who are passionate in worship and powerful in prayer, who are continually being inspired and equipped by the revelation of the power of the Word of God. A church who are so passionate about their relationship with God and each other that they see families transformed, relationships restored, and dreams fulfilled. A church that is committed to training and equipping all believers for effective long-term ministry, building leaders who will impact and influence society with the courage, strength, and power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see that, I start to see what's going to happen in this city. I start to see people being set free right across this city. I start to see us impacting communities and villages across the globe. I start to see people being set free everywhere. I start to see a people living with such joy and authenticity and being so full of the Holy Spirit that there is something different about this place. Now, I see that going on in this church already, but I see a whole lot more. I see what we are becoming, and I want us to really get that prophetically in our heart, where we start to prophesy over our future. Imagine life group leaders, when you actually start to read a vision, a prophetic vision about that over your life group. You know, we see a life group. We are part of a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing. In other words, we don't want to be part of a church that's not real. We want to be authentic. We want to be part of something that changes lives and sets people free. And we want it to be real. We want it to be the sort of church that people from right across this city can be part of and feel comfortable with. You see, our church isn't just for those that already found God. It's also for people that are on the journey that need to find God. And those people are absolutely welcome in this place. And we want to build a culture so that they're welcome and they're embraced in this place. So we've got to have a strategy to do that. Our strategy. How can we fulfill the vision? Without a strategy, vision's just words. See, anybody can actually write a vision. We can dream something up, but unless I've found the hard thing is actually putting a strategy in place that enables a vision to be fulfilled. And our strategy is we desire to see people truly connect to God and people through Jesus Christ. To be a church that is empowered and will empower others through the Holy Spirit. To serve our God, our church, our city, and beyond, knowing that we are sent to take kingdom culture beyond the four walls of our church as we are faithful to His command to go and make disciples. See, making disciples or followers of Jesus Christ is what we do. And what I was really excited about last year was that as we got together as a leadership at the beginning of last year, and we said discipleship needs to actually come right out of the heart of our church. And as we talked about that, as we got together as a ministry team and a board and other key leaders, and as I look around, I see people that have a heart for discipleship, that have a heart for making disciples. And you see, discipleship is much bigger than the latest U-Butte whiz-bang program. There are plenty of things that can put in place and they can make a difference, but unless we've got a heart for it, unless discipleship is something that we all engage with and we're all part of, well, it doesn't happen. It's got to come out of here. So if you don't remember anything else this morning, I want you to remember these four words: connect, empower, serve, send. And if someone asks you what the vision of Energize a Life Church is, I don't expect you to quote off a great big long thing, but I just want you to say, connect, empower, serve, send. Connect, empower, serve, send. You see, it's got to be simple enough that you can write it on a matchbox. It's got to be simple enough that you can remember it wherever you are. You see, it's a cyclic sort of thing. We are all about connecting to God and connecting people to God and people to each other. That's what essentially we do in church. We connect people to God. So when somebody needs to find God, when they haven't known Him, when they don't know what God is even like, we've actually got the capacity to be Jesus in this community and start to lead people into that place. And what are we doing? We're actually connecting them with God. You and I can't save anybody. We didn't die on a cross for other people's sin. Jesus did that, but we can actually point them to Jesus. We can show them what Jesus did in our life. We connect people to God. And once people are connected, you see, just the very fact that they know Jesus will start to allow them to live an empowered life. You see, sin, rebellion from God, is all about guilt. It's about feeling rotten. It's about feeling not good enough. It's about feeling unworthy. It's about pushing you down. It's about you being trampled on. It's about you having no hope and no future. You see, when you get released from that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you start to live an empowered life. And as a church, we go beyond that. We start to help people see that. We continually point them to God. We open the Bible. We open the scriptures to them. We show them how they can live a victorious life. We empower them. We start to train leaders. We start to help people to reach the community. We start to help people to disciple other people. And that empowers people to live in that sort of way. When you're empowered, you're able to serve. See, sometimes you see somebody come and join a team, whether it's in church or whether it's in business, and they sort of stand around, oh, what do I do? What's going on, you know? Have you ever been to sort of like a working bee or something like that, and you were sort of roped in from the side, and there's this sort of core group there, and they're all running around, they know what's going on, and they know where the tools are, and they're picking them all up, and you're sort of, you know, walking around the edge like that. I went to the tennis a while back, and Alex, she ran one of the corporate bar areas for the Marilla Open, and she had this team of volunteers, and she sort of roped me in one morning, and I didn't really know what was going on, and I'm sort of standing in the back room there, and they're filling up eskies, and they're throwing bottles of wine around, and all this stuff's happening, and I'm sort of, yeah, well, I'd like to help, now just let me take that, or, you know, what about that one there? I could take that one out, but the reality was, I didn't completely know what was going on. If I had done it another time, I would have felt empowered. Alex would have given me some training, I'm sure. Yeah, I had the training. I'm just dumb. Yeah. We all move at different rates. But you see, we've actually got to train people so that they're part of what's going on, so that they're able to get their hands dirty, so that they are empowered to make a difference. See, that's what empowerment is. Sometimes empowerment's just looking and seeing someone struggling a bit and saying, hey, can I help you with that? Can I show you what you need? And we can serve when we're empowered. And when we serve, we see all sorts of things happen. We serve our God, we serve our church, we serve our community. And then the reality is, as that's happened, we're able to send people. We're able to send people beyond this church. We're able to send people overseas. We're able to send people into this city. We're able to send people into the Derwent Valley. We're able to send people into businesses across this community. We're able to send people into hospitals. We're able to send people all across this community to influence this community because they've been connected to God. Because they're empowered, because they know what it is to serve, and then they actually feel sent, and then they start to connect people to God again, and the cycle continues. And we see generation after generation, we see a church that grows stronger and stronger with every generation, because we connect, we empower, we serve, and we send. That's what we do. That's discipleship. Just let me explain it a little bit. Connect. I love this verse. John 12:32. Jesus said, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. You see, there's a connection in Jesus. When he was talking about being lifted up, he was talking about being lifted up on the cross. And he said, when that happens, I will draw all men to myself. See, people actually want to belong more than they want to believe. Did you know that? You can sit in a pub and you're arguing about the beliefs. But when you're having that talk, but when you actually go beyond that and you invite that person to meet with some of your friends, perhaps you go beyond that and you invite them to church, well, essentially they think, hey, I can belong here. There is a place for me here. And the interesting thing is the belief actually works its way out along the journey. See, what did Jesus do? He called his disciples. He called these young guys. He called fishermen, tax collectors, students. And he brought this group of young teenagers and young men together. Do you read about him having a theological discussion with every single one of them about their beliefs? No. What did he do? He said, follow me. Why did they follow him? Obviously, he was the Son of God. There was something about him. But they had a sense of belonging. He said, hey, you're with me. You belong here. You've got a purpose here. You belong. And along the journey, they developed their belief. And eventually, they had a belief that was unshakable. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me and I remain in you, for a branch cannot bear fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. See, we have a twofold responsibility here. One is our connection to God. In other words, we've got to remain connected to God. And the other thing is our connection to people. And I believe if you're connected with God, you will naturally connect with people in a much better way. Just on connection too, I want to say that we're a generational church. We love and encourage and love our youth in this church. We seek to be contemporary, fresh, and innovative with our approach, but we're not wholly a youth church. Just look around. You'll see that we're not. Except for Penny on the front row. She is youth. She is hardcore youth. She's got tattoos. We love our seniors. We love the fact that in this church that we have people that have been on the journey for a long time. We love the wisdom that they bring. We love everything that the experience and the richness that they bring. But we're not a seniors church. We love our young families. We love our young adults. We love our single people. We love our grandparents. We're a generational church. We're a church for the generations. We're a church for this generation, and we're a church for the next generation. We are a generational church. I want us to be a church where your kids are born in this church, your kids grow up in this church, your kids become leaders in this church, and your kids are sent out from this church. That is the sort of church that we're building. Empower. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That's what it means to be empowered. When you become connected to God, you become empowered. Serving. Listen to what Jesus says about serving. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." Isn't that amazing? God, the creator of the universe, the Son of God, the one that spoke the universe into being, the one that was always there, the one that was there from the beginning, the one that was speaking out. Imagine that when he said light. And light had never been there before, and suddenly, bang, the whole universe is filled with light when he spoke. And he comes to this tiny little planet. He says, "I didn't actually come here to be served. I came here to serve." In other words, I came here to put myself under you and actually empower you. You see, empowerment never happens from down. Empowerment happens from underneath. Empowerment happens when we actually pick somebody up. Empowerment happens when we come alongside that way. Empowerment doesn't happen through speaking down to somebody. Empowerment happens through speaking up to somebody. Serve. That's serving. Have you ever been in a restaurant? And you go in there and, you know, the waitress comes out and they, you know, they offer you a meal and they go back and they scurry around and, you know, they're having a particularly slow day and you're thinking, when are they going to come out with my meal? Or when are they going to bring me a drink? You know, I'm getting edgy, I'm getting frustrated here. Surely they could do that and just settle me down a little bit. But imagine if you go to a restaurant and they just keep doing that. They just keep walking around, and you've probably had this experience occasionally, and nobody comes and serves you anything. You see, the thing that makes a restaurant is that they have food. They have service, they have all these other things, they have great decor, but essentially they have food. And food is what they serve. And you see, we cannot serve unless we have something to serve. And I think sometimes we can run around everywhere, hey, I'm serving, I'm being submissive, I'm doing this. You see, serving isn't about being a doormat, it's actually about empowering others. It's about having something to serve. It's about being empowered to serve. It's about knowing who you are and what you're called to do and taking that so that you've got something to offer other people. That's what it is to serve. Send, slide. Oh, you don't need to know what slide that is. John 20, 21. Anyway, this one's slide 12, everybody. Just admire slide 12. Isn't it a beautiful slide 12? It's the best slide 12 I've seen this week. Of all the slide 12s I've seen, that's one of them. John 20, 21. "And again he said to me, 'Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.'" Isn't that amazing? We're actually sent by Jesus. We're sent by Jesus to make a difference. Our vision will be realized. I'm going to actually get down now into some of the things that practically are going to see our vision realized. Now, there are all sorts of things we could do. What I've explained so far, we could do a whole lot of things in this church that we're currently not doing and that we're not likely to do this year. But the reality is we've got to know what we're called to do. We've got to know what we've got the capacity to do. We've got to know what we can do well, and we're going to do those things well. Now, there will be things that every year as leaders, you get people come and say, "Hey, we should do this as a church. You say, yeah, that's a great idea. Are you going to do it? And you know, there's all sorts of ideas like that that come. But essentially, we actually know what we've got the capacity to do. We know what's in our realm to do. And we get out and we do those things. And those things can continue to grow. So yeah, there's other things we could do. But these are the things that we do. Our vision will be realized through training and equipping. We want to train and equip people to be empowered. We want to provide training that empowers and equips us to serve our God, our church, and our community so that we can be sent. And one of the ways that we do this is Energizer College. And we've got our registrar, Pete Swift. Why don't you stand up? Give everyone a wave, Pete. You can't miss Pete, the distinguished gentleman with the silver hair. He is our college registrar. The silver fox, some call him, but I wouldn't say that. Energizer College aims to be an active college where people are trained and equipped for the kingdom through the local church. And that's what I love about Energizer College. It's about keeping people serving and connected to the local church while we continue to equip you and train you and give you a greater capacity and understanding. To help the local church fulfill this mandate, Energizer Life Church has designed a local church certificate and ministry in partnership with Alpha Crucis College. Another way that we see people trained and equipped is through Christian Essentials. And Pete and Penny Burnett, head that up. Why don't you stand up so they can see you guys? Give them a hand. Well done, Pete and Penny. And they do a fantastic job with that. But it's about the essentials of what it is to be a follower of Christ. It's a four-week course and it's open to anyone. We've had people coming and doing this course that have been in the church for years and years and years and have absolutely benefited from it. This is a four-week course for anyone who wants to discover more about Christ and his plan for their life. It gives us a solid foundation and understanding in God's Word, helping people discover how to live life abundantly. And Penny also heads up Life Keys, CareForce Life Keys. This course addresses issues of ordinary people struggling with everyday life. I think that's all of us. We're all pretty ordinary, and we're all dealing with everyday life issues. But anyway, sometimes we need a little bit of extra help from that, and this actually gives people the tools to actually work through some of these problems and some of the things that life throws at us. And this year, we will run courses such as Woman to Woman, Search for Life, Man to Man, Marriage Plus, sounds like I might need to do that, and See Energizer Connect to find out more about these things. Our vision can be realized through care and connection. In other words, we've got to care for people and connect people. And one of the ways that we do that is through our life groups. And Phil Boyd, who's sitting right up the back there with the good-looking wife and the good-looking baby, and they head up our life groups, or Phil heads up our life groups. I don't think Micah helps that much. And so being part of a life group connects you into the life of our church. Life groups are groups made up mostly of up to about 12 people who share maybe a similar location, age, or even availability. It's quite open. And to join a life group, if you're interested, why don't you see Energizer Connect and find out about that? You see, as our church grows, we need to be connected in a small way. We need to be connected with people that are able to meet with us sort of in a more sort of one-on-one and group sort of dynamic. So life groups are absolutely fantastic for that. It's the primary way that we do pastoral care in this church is through our life groups. And we study the Word together, we pray together, and we walk the journey together. Life groups are absolutely fantastic. If you're not in one, join a life group. Life Links with Elizabeth McLennan. Give him a wave, Elizabeth. And Life Links exists alongside our life groups, which are the primary point of care. I just said that. Linking people to practical assistance and pastoral care. Walking alongside people through difficult seasons and challenges. Creating a culture of care and prayer through fellowship and practical help. For further assistance, please contact us anytime. So anytime you need help with any of those things, or you know somebody that does, you can ring the office and we'll get the help that you need through Elizabeth and her team. Prayer with Pete Burnett, who heads up our prayer ministry here. Pete's already stood up once already, so you know who he is. And we believe that prayer is a pivotal to bringing God's kingdom on earth. And God describes his church as a house of prayer. And this church is a house of prayer, and it needs to become more and more a house of prayer. Prayer is absolutely important. And we have we pray everywhere. We pray all the time. Prayer isn't just something that happens once. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's something that you continue to do. But we have a morning prayer meeting at 6:15 to 7 a.m., followed by breakfast, and that's here every Wednesday. And then we pray before the service at 8:45 a.m. until 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. So we'd love you to be part of that. Or if you want the team to pray for you or things that you're aware of, you can actually email your prayer requests to prayer@energizerlifechurch.com, and that will be passed on to the team who are able to pray for some of these things that you're feeling like you want a bit of assistance with. Our vision will be realized through Sunday services. And as I look around here this morning, isn't it fantastic when we come together? I love Sundays. I love getting up Sunday morning and thinking, hey, I'm going to get together this morning with my church family. We're going to worship our God together. I'm going to get to hang out with some of my friends. And we're just going to have a fantastic time. We're going to celebrate. There's going to be inspiration. There's going to be impartation. The word is going to be preached. People are going to get saved. People are going to get healed. All sorts of things that happen on a Sunday service. That is an amazing part of what we do. So every Sunday, our growing church meets together to enjoy passionate worship, powerful prayer, and inspiring messages that effectively impact and change our lives forever. Our service teams, which make the Sunday service happen, and Phil Boyd, he heads those up, and the team are passionate about serving God and the people in his house with excellence. And there are teams such as car park, welcoming, ushering, hospitality, Energizer Connect. And it's all to make people feel welcome, warm, and significant when they come into this house. And we want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel warm. And you are definitely significant because God made you significant. So that we want people to feel like that. If you feel like you can assist with that, why don't you join one of the service teams? See Energizer Connect about that. This one's exciting. Creative Ministries. And it's oversighted by Sam Towns, along with key leaders, Josh and Katie. So I want you guys stand up so that you can see who they are. Now, there's something a bit interesting here. I talked to Alex last night, and she has been oversighting Creative Ministries for about 15 years, she thinks. And she's had some sort of leadership role in it for about 17 years when we started to do the numbers last night. And last year, Sam returned home to Energizer with Nat and the three kids, and that was absolutely fantastic. And I thought myself, well, it was just great to have a friend home. And if that's all that Sam and Nat were, I was happy with that. That was absolutely fantastic. And for Sam, after about, I think, 10 years as a worship pastor at Shire and coming back to Hobart to get involved in the family business, I think Sam perhaps thought that his season of leading Creative Ministries and all that sort of thing had perhaps finished, but God's did a number on his heart and stirred him up, and we've had some great talks about that. So the fantastic thing is Alex has been able to release Creative Ministries to Sam and to Josh and Katie, who are also going to be serving on the team and just doing an absolute fantastic job. So that's really, really exciting. So we're going to see great things this year in this year of growth. And anyway, Creative Ministries is about bringing worship and glory to God. And if there was nothing more said than that, that's exactly what it's about. Through musicians, vocalists, production, lighting design, visual media, all that stuff that you see going on here is about bringing worship and glory to God. That's why we do what we do. And all are welcome to join our rehearsal and team building every Wednesday at 6 p.m. until 8:30. That's on here. Our vision will be realized through people groups. We realize that in a church, a generational church, there are all sorts of different needs and different people that we can reach in different ways. And Energizer Kids, which is oversighted by Pastor Alex. So stand up, Pastor Alex, so that they know who you are. And also Adrian Clark's assisting in a major way there. So that's absolutely fantastic. Energizer Kids is a place where children can come to know God in a welcoming, loving, and exciting atmosphere through worship, teaching, prayer, and the Word of God. Our vision is to inspire a love for Jesus, His Word, His church, and His people, encouraging kids to live for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've also got Energizer Youth with our fantastic youth pastor, Mel Docker. Stand up and give everyone a wave, Mel. And this year, I want... This is going to be a fantastic year for youth. And I really want you to come alongside and get to know Mel this year and find out how you can pray for Mel and the team, how you can support what they're doing, and allow her to share some of the vision with you. But Mel says 2010 is shaping up to be an exciting year. We're experiencing the favour of God over our youth ministry in the last year, and we're expectant that that will continue in an even greater way this year. I love this. Our focus this year is connection. Creating an environment where the presence of God is abundant and where young people can express the fullness of their life and all that God has done for them. A place that is welcoming and embracing of all young people regardless of their background or stereotypes. Continuing to grow a youth ministry that genuinely loves and serves their church and wider community. That's fantastic. That's going to be a fantastic year for youth. Unified, which is our young adults ministry, which is oversighted by Joe Pang, who's sitting down there in... Stand up, Joe. Give us a wave so we know who Joe is. And Joe tells me that Unified are looking forward to advancing on the foundations from the last year. Isn't that impressive? And they're really expanding themselves as individuals in a group to deepen their own relationship with God and each other, as well as to reach unchurched with boldness. That's absolutely fantastic. Why don't you get involved with young adults and get alongside Joe and the team there? And whether, you know, you're single, whether you're working or studying or married with children, if you consider yourself a young adult, our heart at Energizer Life Church is to see you strategically connected. And we want to connect you into the soul of our church, you know, through life groups and then other events that happen alongside that. Believe it or not, we've got things for adults, 35 plus, host bi-monthly events, and just give people the opportunity to relax and enjoy one another's company in a pretty casual sort of way. And it's a great opportunity to connect some of your friends with your church family. We've also got More to Life that's aimed at our 50 plus people, and George and Pat head that up, do a fantastic job with that. And in a contemporary setting, they have a vision to give elderly people the opportunity to come and know God, enjoy one another's company while living a life that is full. More to Life functions on the first and third Sunday of every month and also ministers to our community through nursing homes. Did you know that through the ministry of George and Pat and the team, that over the last 18 months in nursing homes, they've seen about 120 people come to the Lord? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely phenomenal? And there's no stopping George. He will keep going. So he'd love people to join him in that team, and he's a great team with More to Life. Why don't you get part of that, and it's an opportunity to get out in the community and reach people. Energizer Men, that's oversighted by me, and that's being all we were meant to be. And we host a variety of things throughout the year so that men from all walks of life can connect. So obviously next week we've got Simeon at the Soho. That's going to be fantastic. Energizer Women with Pastor Alex, and I love what they are. They're all about laugh, love, and live life. Energizer Women hosts a variety of activities tailored especially for women of all ages, providing an atmosphere for them to laugh, love, and live life to the full. In 2009, this was fantastic. In 2009, we launched a new initiative to reach young girls. Girls' Day will continue in 2010 and will take place in different locations. Now, Alex, God did a number on her over the last couple of years, and she started to see what was going on in teenage girls. And as she started to do the study, she realised that often by the time a girl is 12 or 13, some of the experiences that have perhaps happened through their formative years between perhaps 8 and 11, it can almost be that there's damage that's done that sets their life on a course which is very hard to bring back. So she's got a real heart for actually ministering to girls in that age group through our girls' days. And it's actually all about giving them value and esteeming them and helping them understand who they are. So pray for Alex and the team. You can get involved with girls' days. They're going to be fantastic. Our vision will continue through influence. And Impact Tasmania is all about connecting, empowering and influencing. Each year, Energizer Life Church hosts a series of events providing an opportunity for leaders and church teams to connect and be encouraged and inspired through connection with one another whilst hearing some of the greatest teachers from around the country and across the globe. This year, one of the things that we're doing with Impact is we've got some breakfast coming up very shortly. We're going to get around the state. We've realised that it's important to sometimes do things a little bit smaller and be able to really encourage. We've got a vision to be able to get alongside churches, even in some of the regional areas where people are just serving faithfully and sometimes doing it a bit tough, where we can actually connect them and encourage them and really point their eyes up to what God's doing in the kingdom. So we're going to be doing that. Impact Conference will continue out at Marilla in late August, and that's going to be absolutely fantastic. And that's all about connecting leaders. It's about empowering churches, and it's about influencing communities. So we want to draw people together in that. So there's great opportunity to serve and be part of that and pray for that. So that's a big part of what we do in our church, that we feel that our influence for the kingdom is not just what goes on here on Sundays. It's about loving the local church. It's about being a champion for the local church, and it's about empowering others to do that. So that's a big part of what we do and the vision that we have. Energizer Missions, taking kingdom culture to our world. And Kev Towns' journey with missions at Energizer Church continues. And for those of you who mightn't know, Kev Towns, stand up Kev, give everyone a wave. He's another one of these distinguished gentlemen. Kev was previously the senior pastor here, and Alex and I served under Kev for quite a long, well, I don't know how long, but in various formats for a long time, so we really enjoyed doing that. And Kev and Sue have been to Melbourne, and they're back with us here now. They've been back for about 12 months or so. And Kev really had a heart, and his heart for missions just grew and grew and grew as he was leading the church, and it was quite an amazing thing. So as we talked recently, Kev really started to share his heart about what we can do as a church with mission, how we can continue to build on what we've already done, how the journey can continue. And after some chats with Kev and also with Rebecca, who's down the back there, who has actually been our missions sort of coordinator, Kev has decided to actually step in, and we're releasing him to grow and build our missions area, along with Rebecca, who's leading, is all part of our trip that's going to Nepal shortly, and all sorts of things like that. So missions is absolutely fantastic. We can't wait to see what happens there. And our missions, what we're doing already, is we're planting churches in Nepal and India through partnership with MPART. We're involved in a partnership with Compassion, and we're sponsoring children, and some of you are sponsoring children through all sorts of other organisations, and we just want to encourage that and champion that. What we can do together is absolutely amazing. We've sponsored, there's probably about over 200 children sponsored in Ethiopia through what's actually gone on with this church already. So it's absolutely fantastic, the influence that's happening over there. We want that to continue. I'll be able to share as the year goes on about some other exciting initiatives. We've got some church partnership opportunities going on. You see, when we went to Ethiopia, Alex and I and Kevin Sue were on that trip too, we actually saw the way that the programs actually happened on the ground. And every one of them is done through an empowered local church. Yeah. Church just like this. And some of them weren't very much different. Obviously, people are poorer and it's different, but we walked into buildings sometimes much like this and with concrete floors and quite basic, but people with the same passion to worship their God and transform their communities. And our partnership with Compassion, your partnership with Compassion, sponsoring children actually enables those churches to be empowered to transform their communities through essentially child sponsorship. So we're going to see partnership actually happen there, where we can get some regular connection with what's going on in some of the churches in Ethiopia. So that's going to be very, very exciting. And we've got a missions trip going to Nepal in August. So there's all sorts of amazing things happening, and we'll continue to grow that area. Community action, and with Anna King. Would you stand up, give everyone a wave, Anna, so they know who you are. And Anna says, as 2010 unfolds, we'll continue to raise the profile of community action and evaluate the opportunities to take Jesus' life-changing message beyond the walls of this church. And I like this. We're not overwhelmed, but instead we're strengthened when we begin to see what is already at hand. We're linking arms with other local ministries to support their work, as well as praying for wisdom in new initiatives that arise. So that's absolutely fantastic. We're also reaching out with a Derwent Valley service plant, an outreach to the Derwent Valley. That is absolutely exciting. We've got a youth pastor in the area at the moment. Dan Pastor is actually working up there as a youth pastor. He's also got a job in two high schools up there as a school chaplain, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's absolutely amazing. We're seeing a local team that are already working and living in the community up there. They're transforming our building up there, turning it into a youth centre. If you want to get on board and help with that, we envisage that our youth centre will open in early April. That's what we're working towards. So that's going to be open perhaps two nights a week so that kids can come in and connect in the community up there. And we're really working towards seeing a service start up in that community, because the community certainly needs it. There is an open door to see amazing things happen in the Derwent Valley right at this moment. So let's keep praying and let's keep building towards that. That's very, very exciting. Influences, influencing and serving our community. The vision of influence is to get together as ministers in the marketplace so that we can encourage and support one another as we make a difference. So wherever you are in the marketplace or the community, we have breakfasts about bi-monthly, and we just come together and we encourage one another, we pray for one another, we get somebody to share an inspiring word that is relative to that. So that's absolutely fantastic. And this one here, and some years I haven't actually done this with a Vision Sunday, but I really wanted to do that this year. I wanted to talk about the fact that a vision needs to be resourced. See, we can talk about it all we like, but unless we put some money behind it, unless we do that, that's actually what enables a lot of things to happen. We know that God is our supplier. We know that He enables things, but He actually does it through us. Sometimes He just does something as simple as saying, "I would like you to give to that. I would like you to put your hand in your pocket and get involved in that." And the thing about a vision too is that a vision doesn't really become personal until it costs us something. And you see, if we want to get involved in a vision, buy-in happens at a whole lot of levels. But one of the ways that buy-in does happen is financially. We say that we are actually going to make sacrifices so that we can see this vision come to fruition in our city and beyond. So for all this sort of thing to happen, the church this year, we've got a projected budget of $408,000. And that sounds a lot of money when you look at it like that, doesn't it? $408,000. 402, sorry. I wrote 408 down there for some strange reason, but 402 is the correct figure. And you'll see there's miscellaneous income, and that seems like a bit strange to put miscellaneous. But that's things like we've got a building that we rent out. We get a little bit of rent from our building at New Norfolk. We do things like go on trips to Hillsong. We run conferences. There's all sorts of ways like that other income actually comes in to the church. We take up love offerings for visiting ministers. That's in all those sorts of things. You'll see that there are weekly tithes and offerings, and that's $260,000 is our projected budget for our weekly tithes and offerings. And you'll also see there miracle offerings, $88,000. And we've got a vision to give over and above our regular giving, and that's going to happen through three miracle offerings. And those miracle offerings are not about putting money into the church. It's about resourcing the community. It's about sponsoring and planning churches in Nepal and India. It's about getting chaplains into high schools. It's about planning churches in the Derwent Valley. It's all about reaching out. And we're going to see that raised through three miracle offerings this year. And I'll explain that in more detail as we get closer towards that. And then we've got our weekly giving. In other words, our tithes and offerings, $260,000. Now, it seems like a lot of money. But if you want to break that down, I'll break that down to a weekly target for us. Those of you who are nice and sharp would know what that is already. But that is about $5,000 a week that we can actually set a goal to raise $5,000 a week. And I did a little quick calculation on that. And if 150 people gave $30 each, that's $5,000 a week. And I know that not everybody here can give $30 a week. If you're at school, you probably can't do that. Or your two-year-old child is probably not in a position to give $30 a week. But the reality is some of us can do a lot more than that. And the thing about giving is that I really want to say I really believe in tithing. Sometimes it's a bit unfashionable to talk about that, but I believe in it. I believe that tithing is the first step to you starting to live by faith. And you're saying that I'm going to make a step and I'm going to give the first 10%, the first fruits of what comes to me, and I'm going to place that in the house of God. And I want to challenge you on that, and I want to say to you, if you decide you're going to do that, I believe you'll see some release in your life. I'm not saying that all of a sudden because you do that you're going to be driving a Ferrari next week. But what I am saying is that God can actually start to release you and start to move you on a walk of faith so that you're not hanging onto the money so tight and trying to trust Him. And if we could do that, if all of us were actually, if we took tithing on as something that we live by, we would go way over and above that $5,000 a week I'm talking about. So we can do it. I believe that we can do that. We can do that this year. We can see in excess of $88,000 given over and above that because you are an extremely generous church to make a difference in the community. We can do that this year. It's absolutely exciting. The team, if you want to come back up and join me, that'd be absolutely fantastic. How can you get involved? How can you be part of the vision? Well, I've talked about having some ownership in a financial sense, because anything that you believe in, you will put your money there. The Bible says that wherever your heart is, your treasure is, or wherever your treasure is, your heart is. In both sort of ways. And you look at the way people live, the things that we spend our money on are the things that are close and dear to our heart. At times I've spent money going out to restaurants and I love eating out. I love the whole atmosphere, but it's because that's something I love. I love spending time with my wife. I love doing that. So I actually make that a priority to put money into those things. If you love the kingdom of God, you will make it a priority to put money in. It'll be your first priority, absolutely number one priority. Let's be people that can do that. How can you get involved? Well, the ushers right now are going to hand out some brochures to you. And this is actually a little brochure that enables you to fill in a form and talk about how you can get involved. And on the back of it, it just talks about ways that you might like to volunteer in the church. You can volunteer in administration or venue. There's training and equipping. There's care and connection. There's the Sunday services. There's our people groups. There's influence. You might decide that you would like to be a life group leader. So how can you get involved? I'm going to give you six ways that you can get involved, that you can partner with this vision. And the first thing is, and you might laugh at this, but the first thing is, come to church. Number one, come to church. Make going to church a priority for you and your family. Joshua said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I believe that coming to church needs to be a priority for us. You see, when you come to church, it's bigger than you. You actually bless somebody else. You get the opportunity to lift somebody else up from where they were. There will be somebody that will be blessed every single time that you come to church. You will find yourself catching the vision because you're around like-minded people, because you're at church, you're at your life group, you're in those places. Number two is, I say, catch the vision. Keep a soft heart and allow the vision to be caught. Don't be cynical about things. Yeah, we'll make mistakes this year. We'll do things different to how you might have done them and all those sorts of things. Let's not be cynical. Let's be open and let's catch a vision. Number three, join a life group. Make sure that you've got people around you that are going to walk the journey with you and look after you and empower you. Number four is pray regularly for our community, our church, and our vision. Pray for it. Make it part of your prayer life. Number five, and I've talked about this, partner with us financially, because vision costs. It does cost to see a difference made in this city. And number six, why don't you join a team? Why don't you... You can actually, I think on this... I don't know if it says on this form, but we've got a thing where you can test drive a team for a day. In other words, you might think, oh, well, I could be an usher, but I don't know if it would quite suit me. But you can actually join for one day with no expectations and test drive that team for a day. You could test drive the missions team. You could come along to one of the meetings and find out where you could get involved, how you might be able to support a team that's going to Nepal, how you might be able to get involved with some fundraising, how you might be able to write to missionaries on the other side of the world and just say, we at Energize the Church are with you and we believe in you and we encourage you. There's all sorts of ways that you can get involved. You can test drive a team for a day. The collective influence that we have as a church and as believers across this city and state, it's already big. It already goes beyond this place. There's a legacy that's been in place that continues to build. But I believe as we get hold of the vision, that influence that we have can become huge. It can absolutely become huge. Imagine that when we go out of this place on Monday morning, 150 or 200 people or 250 people that have been in church for the day just go out of this place absolutely inspired about Jesus Christ, absolutely loving people, absolutely caring for people, absolutely connecting in their workplace. See, each of you in that week will come in contact with probably a minimum of 50 people. That is 50 people that you get to impact every single week. And some of those people will be sitting down and having a chat with. Others will be, you know, picking something up for somebody. And sometimes just giving somebody a smile. But we have an amazing opportunity to have a huge impact in this city. I'm excited about 2010. I've been saying for a long time, as we prepared for Impact Conference last year, that I believe that the decade that's ahead of us is going to be a defining decade. It's going to be a defining decade for the church in this nation. It's going to be a defining decade for our nation. And I think we're up for it. I think we're up for making this next decade an absolutely huge decade, where Australia is actually identified as one of the nations in this world where the kingdom of God expands beyond what people imagine. Where the values of this nation actually become more like the values that we've read out for our church. It can happen. It can happen as we get hold of a vision as a local church, as we empower other churches, as we empower other people. We can see this nation change in a mighty way. We can see amazing things happen across the globe. But it starts right here today. It's your time. It's your year. 2010 is a year of growth. Thanks, guys.
Come on, why don't you stand?